this is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey guys, we are back at Community Beer Company.
We can't quit this place.
I can't quit you. Can't quit you, Wheeler.
It really is a good place.
It's a great place, and the weather's still good enough to sit outside.
This is the first time we've been here. It feels like we call these people here. Thank goodness I've made a relationship that I haven't messed up yet. And it feels like we call them like once every 2 weeks. Like, can we come back?
Well, one reason is because they have one of the most unique sandwiches.
Oh my God!
In all of Dallas.
And I was going to say our table looks nice and clean right now. We just wolfed these things down. I'm not sure we even tasted the sandwich.
If you like pulled pork, and I grew up on pulled pork in Tennessee, but if you like pulled pork, this would look like and taste like pulled pork.
And this is coming from a Tennessee guy who knows pulled pork.
I know some pulled pork, but it's jackfruit.
It's jackfruit. It's a vegetarian sandwich, and you would never know it. The sauce on there is so great, and the way they cook it, and I think we've talked about this before. I bought some jackfruit, and I tried to do it at home.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
It is not the same.
You couldn't do it?
Oh my God, no.
Mrs. Wheeler's like, no, we're not interested. Let's go out to eat tonight.
She was like, you eat that.
Is that what she said?
You eat that. I'm gonna have this over here. I'm ordering out.
Wow.
But no, the jackfruit sandwich is one of the most amazing things you will put in your mouth at any brewery around here.
Yeah, it's really unique. It's a unique sandwich.
But this is the first time in all the times we've been here that we have sat outside to do this.
And there's not much more of a window that we have to sit outside.
No.
We're closing in on some humidity.
Week and a half left, and then it's over.
And then it's done. So what's great about this episode, here's the best thing about this episode. Wheeler did it all by himself.
I did.
And it's not often,
we
can turn the screws on Wheeler to do something, but he was working pretty hard.
Our producer, Daryl, just flashed some numbers.
He's like, Wheeler didn't do it all by himself.
No, like, no, what he said he's done it like five.
I think this is either the fourth or fifth time this
fourth
year.
Fourth or fifth this year.
This year that he's done it by himself?
Yeah, yes. What have you been doing?
Stop it.
Earn a living, man.
We need to go back and check that. I want to fact check that. I don't know if that's true or not.
I think it is true.
But it's an old friend of ours. She's been on the podcast a number of times.
Yes.
And she...
her name is Laura Prather. Laura Lee Prather, if we want to be exact.
Is Lee her maiden name?
It is. No, I think it's her middle name. If I'm not mistaken.
But
I don't know.
She always goes by Laura Lee Prather.
I need to fact check that too. Laura Lee Prather. She is a partner and chair of the media law practice group at Haynes Boone, a big law firm here in Texas. And she's been working on this issue for a very long time. So she knows all of the ins and outs. And what we're talking about this time is SLAPP lawsuits.
And SLAPP actually stands for something,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, SLAPP has two P's. And it is strategic lawsuits against public participation, okay?
And tell us what that means.
So basically it means that, if I've got a lot of money and I want to, keep people from, expressing their First Amendment opinions about me, whether it be on Twitter or they go on TV and say something, or even if, there's somebody in the media who wants to do a negative story about me that's totally factual, but I would kind of like to stop that, all I got to do is just start suing and suing and suing, because I've got deep pockets. I've got a whole team of attorneys, and I can drag this out forever. And you've got to go hire counsel now, and you don't have the kind of money I've got. So I'm going to shut you down.
So that's legal in Texas right now.
No, it's not.
It's not legal.
So that's what a SLAPP lawsuit is. So Texas, addressing that, like a lot of states have, more than a decade ago, came out with an anti-SLAPP law that says, well, you can still, Jason, if you want to sue the pants off of everybody, go ahead.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. If they invoke this in court and say, hey, judge, this is a SLAPP lawsuit, then immediately the trial or the case just gets on this really fast track, and it can be tossed out pretty immediately. And now all of the people that I've sued that I shouldn't have sued because they weren't really doing anything wrong, they can now get me to pay their attorney's fees.
Well, good thing you have deep pockets then, right?
Good thing. And see, now that's going to make me now start to think twice, like maybe I shouldn't be suing everybody, you know?
So this is illegal in the state of Texas right now.
Right. So Texas, created this fix for that,
yeah.
Including with the backing of some pretty powerful interests that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. But now there is a push again, and I say again because this happened in the last legislative session a couple of years ago, to create sort of, an anti slap. So we're going back to.
Are they
going to
gut
beginning.
It, or what's the idea?
Yeah,
they
basically,
gut it?
What we're looking at here is that they could be taking away the whole part where I would have to pay your attorney's fees, even if it's determined that I filed a lawsuit that was frivolous against you. You're still on the hook for your attorney's fees, and those can be extraordinary. Jeff Leach, the representative chairs this committee. They just had a big hearing about this bill that wants to do this. He revealed that he had, to date, he's been involved in a suit that he says was a slap lawsuit. To date, he has spent $300,000 on attorney's fees that he says he'd get back, because when it's called anti-slap. But I mean, $300,000, that gives you an idea of how onerous this can be.
So what's the message then? Be careful what you post about folks if this thing passes?
Yeah, I mean, this
is... Be careful what you say, even though there's a First Amendment right?
Even if you're totally in the right, too. And this applies to media. This applies to, groups out there. Let's say you're the ACLU. Let's say you're some community group and you say something or you put something out on Twitter. Or even if you're just a regular person. And, we talk about this, but there's a really conservative guy who says, this is even like your pastor. If they say something, your neighbor, I mean, this is everybody.
Wow.
And so we get into this with Laura. She took my call here and just spoke with her right after they had this big hearing. Let's dive in here and take a listen to some of the things that she had to say about this.
Laura, thank you so much for being with us here today. And, it's always a treat talking to you. I feel smarter every time that you're on with us. And you get a treat today, too, because it's just me and not Whiteley. So there's that. Kind of nice. I want to talk to you about this because this is probably one of the least sexy things that the legislature is discussing right now. But it is one of the most important things, I would say, as far as people knowing what is going on in their government. This is serious stuff that we're talking about here. And I think that most people are not paying attention to this.
I think you're right, except for the part about it not being sexy. I think it's sexy. Hmm.
You're supposed to. You're the chair of the media law practice group there at Haynes Boone. So you're knee deep, neck deep, really, in this and have been working with this stuff for many years. A disclaimer here. Our bosses here at Yolitics, Tegna, they are part of the Protect Free Speech Coalition, which you are representing there in the legislature. Can we just start off by talking about SLAP? Because I don't think that most people are really up to speed on this. It stands for Strategic Lawsuits Against Public Participation, SLAPP. Can you kind of just give us a quick synopsis of what that even means?
Sure. I mean, what that is it's basically a form of judicial harassment. Some people call it lawfare. There's all kinds of names for it. But putting it most simply, it is somebody who is trying to use the court system to sue an opposing view into silence. It's as simple as that.
So this could be lodged against really anyone, but also like, let's say, a media organization who does a story that, someone who's rich or powerful doesn't like. Even if the story was factual and correct, somebody who has, endless resources can go, well, I'm just going to sue you to death here and drag this out and make this miserable for you and your corporation. Or even a group. They could do that with a group as well. Is that sort of what we're talking about here?
Yeah, I mean, let me give you a few examples. Yes, the media uses this law to be able to support its investigative reporting and other information when they report on matters of public concern and they get sued for it. Because after all, the media does expose uncomfortable truths and wrongdoing, and people sometimes don't like that, but it doesn't mean that it's unlawful or indefensible. What this law does, though, and it's called the Texas Citizens Participation Act.
This is our anti-SLAP law.
Exactly. So the antidote to SLAP suits is anti-SLAP laws. And in Texas in 2011, the Texas legislature unanimously passed the Texas Citizens Participation Act. And it protects Texas citizens, as the name indicates. So you asked for examples. You could have something as simple as an online reviewer on Yelp express their opinion about a business and then get sued because the business didn't like what was said. Or you could have something much more impactful. You could have a survivor of abuse talk about their abuser. And you know, and I know that one of the greatest achievements so far this session has been the passage of Trey's Law, which would protect those abused and enable them to speak out. What the Texas anti-SLAPP law does is it gives them protections when they speak out and they get sued for doing it.
How does this actually work? How do the gears move here when you have to invoke the Texas Citizens Participation Act? Somebody has sued you, let's say. How does this work? Does it go on sort of this fast track through the courts where you don't have to go through this long drawn out process, from some deep pocketed person who's suing you, and it sort of gets weighed and pushed out?
I mean, that's exactly what it does. So imagine you're on the receiving end, okay? You're a domestic violence victim who has outed your abuser. You are a citizen who has posted a Yelp review, and all of a sudden you're on the receiving end of a $1 million lawsuit. You have to go out and hire a lawyer, and that lawyer needs to have a mechanism to get you out of that lawsuit quickly. And so the anti-SLAPP law allows for a very quick motion to dismiss for the court to establish, is there any merit to this case or not? Are they really just trying to shut you up? And if so, get it out of my courtroom. And that is huge, right? Because people need to be able to dismiss these cases and continue to exercise their constitutional rights.
And doesn't it further discourage somebody who is very litigious and just ready to start firing off lawsuits, that then they may be forced to pay the attorney's fees for the person that they shouldn't have sued in the first place?
Indeed. So that yes, there are a number of three different factors to the law that really give it teeth. And the one that you just focused on is probably the most significant. If you are sued by somebody to try to shut you up, and the court says this case needs to be dismissed, then there is a mandatory fee award to make you whole. And I can tell you there are three reasons why this is important. The first is it helps you get that lawyer to begin with. I mean, there are plenty of people who don't have the means to get a lawyer, but if that lawyer knows I'm going to have the opportunity to get my fees back if I do a good job and I get this case dismissed, they're going to take your case to begin with. So that really is an access to justice issue right there. The second thing is it deters people from filing the suit to begin with. If somebody sends you a cease and desist letter or some sort of demand, and you write back and you say, fine, bring it, sue me, but you're going to be on the hook for my fees, they might think twice about suing you. And then the third way, of course, is if you do ultimately get into a lawsuit and the motion to dismiss prevails, you're made whole. All that money and expense that you had to put out to defend a meritless case, you get back. And
Okay,
that's how it should be.
so we have this issue then of slap lawsuits. We had the antidote, as you call it, the fix, the Texas Citizens Participation Act, the anti-slap. So why are we talking about this today? Well, as we said, this is an active issue now at this in this legislative session, and you, I guess, could consider this bill that we're going to be discussing here to be sort of the anti-slap now. We're going back to square one.
I think you're right. I mean, and that's really what lawmakers heard last night. We had a very long hearing before the House Judiciary and Civil Jurisprudence Committee, had about 2 dozen witnesses come in person to testify, another 36 or so submit written testimony. Out of those 60 witnesses, altogether, there were exactly three who were in favor of the bill. Everyone else
Wow.
was opposed to the bill. And there were people, Jason, who came from all over the state, people who came from, Waxahachie to input their opposition, from Corpus Christi, from, you name it, they were there because this bill and this law, the law is so important, and the bill would really gut the law, and people want lawmakers to understand that.
We'll get down into that, Bill, here in just a second. First of all, though, Laura, I recall I think it was the last time you were on the podcast with us, about a year ago. We were talking about what had happened in Uvalde with the school shooting there, and we were, talking about this afterwards. This came up the last legislative session as well, didn't it? And what happened there?
Yeah, the last legislative session, they were taking aim at two of the other aspects of the law that give it teeth. Remember, I said there were three aspects that give it teeth. One is this mandatory fee. The other two aspects are the ability to stop the bleeding. So if you end up getting sued for speaking out about something, the court needs to be able to make a decision on that case quickly, and you need to get not tangled up in expensive discovery. So you stop the bleeding with a stay of discovery, is what it's called. And then if the court gets it wrong, and courts do get things wrong, there's the opportunity to appeal that to the appellate court immediately, where again, there's a halt to the underlying proceedings while the appellate court, which is generally a court that has more constitutional law experience, gets to check the papers of the trial court and say yes or no, this case has merit. So, between the three factors, the fees, the stay, and the appeal, those are the three facets of the law that really help protect Texas citizens. If you
And
take away,
it's those last two you were saying that were under threat the last time?
right. So, if you take away any of those, you're going to severely compromise the free speech rights of Texas citizens. Last session, the stay and the interlocutory appeal were under siege. Unfortunately, this session, there are bills that would put those in play as well.
But the last time this was turned back, what was the magic there?
We essentially just got to the end of session. It died on the last day of the last calendar.
Okay. And so it came roaring back this time. It is now moving through the process. You went through this incredibly long hearing, as you were talking about. Did you get a sense in that hearing as to which way things could go here? I know that there's poker faces there. You do see people line up on both sides of these issues among the lawmakers. But did you get a sense?
The bill sponsor is a gentleman by the name of Manu Dayalia, and he said all the right things as far as, I want to protect free speech rights. But the complaints that were mentioned about the law are truly things that have been discussed and resolved in prior sessions. Complaints about the law applying in settings that are now exempt under the law. And so I think that there's a bit of a disconnect between, people who are still frustrated by being delayed in their cases because they're still tangled up in claims that are now exempt under the law, but may not have been when the lawsuits were filed. You asked if I got a sense of how things go. There was an overwhelming sense of the importance of keeping this law intact. I do think that Representative Dahlia is willing to talk about changes to his bill and changes that hopefully would be more palatable to Texas citizens. But we're waiting to see those proposed changes.
Okay, so you say that there's this overwhelming push to keep this law intact. Doesn't that create some sort of odd bedfellows? I mean, you're seeing some interesting alliances among groups, to say the least, trying to preserve this law here in Texas.
Yeah, it's fascinating, and Representative LaHood was asking questions about that last night. So in the beginning, you mentioned the Protect Free Speech Coalition. So I've had the pleasure of working and building this coalition for several years now. And the coalition has morphed into more than 150 organizations from across the ideological spectrum. So you've got Texas Right to Life as a member and the ACLU as a member. You have Fox News as an ardent supporter of the Texas Citizens Participation Act and CBS. So it is not, what people understand is that free speech rights are for everyone. And last night, I was so taken aback by, we knew who some of the witnesses would be, But there was another dozen witnesses that came forward last night on their own, without any encouragement from anybody, to tell their experiences and why they believe this law is so important.
And I would imagine with a lot of passion too. It would seem, Laura, that this would be something that would be fairly protected. I mean, again, Republicans have, had the trifecta in this state for decades. They've had total control. They had total control when this protective anti-SLAPP law went into effect. We were talking about this, prior to recording here, and we were discussing. You were telling me that the Texas Republican Party platform actually recognizes the anti-SLAPP law here in Texas as being important, and that it should remain intact and be broadly enforced as it is. That would seem like it would be protected and fine, and that we wouldn't see these threats. What happened there?
I don't know the answer to that question. I do know that the Republican Party platform, not in one, but in two of their party planks, expressly said, protect the Texas Citizens Participation Act. Do not make further encroachments upon that act. So I don't know why anybody would want to go against that, but it is sort of going back to that whole making strange bedfellows and, who it protects, lawmakers are protected under this law. Chairman Jeff Leach talked last night about his experience as a SLAPP victim. Senator Alvarado, Democrat, has been the victim of a SLAPP suit. Senator Hagenbaugh. I mean, it goes on and on because imagine, people get upset about statements made in the political arena. And so you can see for Chairman Leach, it was a tweet that got him on the receiving end of a SLAPP suit. These are rights that all citizens need to have protected. And it's no exaggeration to say that this law is the most vital protection for Texas citizens' free speech rights that we have.
Of course, I see a lot of these issues through the lens of a journalist, since I am one. We've seen these extraordinary lawsuits brought by a sitting president against news organizations, including CBS, 60 Minutes there. Are we likely, and I'm not saying, that those are slap suits. I'm not, I don't, I'm not a judge, obviously, or a lawyer. But are we likely to see more of that sort of thing if we weaken the slap protections here in Texas? Are we likely to see that, so and so lawmaker doesn't like that report that was done on them, even though it's totally factual? Let's just sue that organization to death until it just stops reporting the truth. Are we likely to see that from deep-pocketed folks? I would imagine that the rich and the powerful are the ones that would benefit the most, perhaps, by having this removed, because they've got the means to have a whole, team of attorneys just go after you for any number of things.
Sure. If this bill, the one that would remove the mandatory fees, passes, you will have a two-tier system in Texas. The rich and the powerful will have free speech rights, and the rest of us won't, because they'll be the only ones that can afford to file lawsuits, and they'll be the only ones that can afford to take the risk to defend against them.
Now, there's been some discussion, though, and I think that, in some ways this might put a little bit of window dressing on it for the average person who's just tuning in a little bit to what the legislature is doing. There have been some discussions about, well, hey, maybe we'll just have this little media carve out. And so people like Jason don't have to worry about it because we'll still protect the media from slap lawsuits. But the interesting thing is, I mean, that's great for me, but the interesting thing is that media is much more unlikely to use the anti-SLAPP protection than other groups, aren't they? Percentage-wise.
Yeah, there's a couple of studies that we've had to do as a result of different sort of statements that have been made along the way. One is this is just a protection for the media. And the Reporters Committee for Free Press did an analysis of that. And what they found is that actually in Texas, only 10% of the cases involve the media. The other 90% involve the citizens, the people that showed up last night to testify. So, that's one of the myths that exists. Another one is people say, and this was said in the layout of the bill last night, oh, these bills, these anti-SLAPP motions are clogging up the court system. Again, the Reporters Committee looked back. This law has been on the books for 14 years. They looked back at all 14 years and they found that less than one half of 1% of the cases in the appellate court system over that 14-year period have involved the anti-SLAPP law. And so I think there's a lot of just misstatements that are being made about the law. And the data, when you look at the data, doesn't bear out those complaints that are being lodged.
Laura, I think this is one of those crazy issues too that does not boil down easily to this side versus that side. We're so accustomed to, the donkey versus the elephant here, Democrats versus Republicans. Just hearing you, tick off the different organizations that are trying to save this law in Texas, just hearing you tick off the people who testified, even among lawmakers. I mean, you've got Republicans and Democrats testifying in favor of keeping this law. And so it's an odd animal in that sense. But we saw even Ben Ferguson, who is no conservative slouch. I mean, he's a very conservative commentator. He did an op-ed recently and basically just went off on this, saying that this is what lawfare looks like. That this protected people like him. He says he's been sued. And he says that the suits that came against him after he, maybe put out a tweet or put out an article or said something on TV, weren't about justice, that they were about silencing him, and that the goal was to break him financially and essentially bankrupt him into silence. And he made the case that this doesn't just threaten him or conservative media or even, liberal media for that matter. He says it threatens your pastor, your community leader, your friend with a podcast, or your neighbor who posts boldly online. I think it might be easy for listeners and viewers to sort of separate from this and think, oh, that's a media issue or that's a, high profile person issue. It's an everyone issue, isn't it?
It's an everyone issue. And I'll tell you, last night we had a couple of witnesses that I was so struck by their testimony because one involved a gentleman who had represented a pastor who had gotten sued for speaking out about people getting civically engaged. And he got sued, and it was only because of the mandatory fees that he was able to defend himself. So,
Wow.
that does happen. It happens for domestic violence survivors. We had a domestic violence survivor who came and she testified, Carmen Montiel, about her experience. And then we had folks again who brought up the whole Trey's Law issue and the fact that, with all of the advances of passing Trey's Law so that you have sexual abuse survivors feel like they cannot be muzzled with these NDAs. Well, if you say you can't be muzzled with an NDA, but you can get slapped with a slap suit and be on the hook for somebody else's fees, what's the point?
When I read about this, Laura, I immediately think too of this group here in Texas, very conservative, very influential, very powerful in the legislature, TLR, Texans for Lawsuit Reform. And I think about them because, they're about lawsuit reform and sort of, tort reform and keeping the courts from being clogged up with, unnecessary cases. It would seem that the current law, the anti-SLAPP law that we have, is kind of doing that, isn't it? It's flagging those cases that are just, that's frivolous almost. And let's, throw that out. What about them?
That is an interesting point. TLR was supportive of this law when it was passed. I think they forgot that at a recent hearing, but they were on the record supportive of this law when it was passed
The
and
anti-SLAPP law.
the anti-SLAPP law, yes. And in recent history, they have been actually supportive of paring it back and in this instance, really gutting the law. If you remove the mandatory fees or the stay or the interlocutory appeal, you're gutting the law. And so that, again, sort of creates this dichotomy. If you're a tort reform organization who doesn't like frivolous lawsuits, but you think it should be easier to sue someone into silence, then maybe you're supportive of frivolous lawsuits that target people's free speech rights, but not the rest of them. I mean, you have to wonder.
Is this unusual compared to other states? Are we seeing movements like this in other states? I know that you keep a pretty good finger on the pulse of what's happening with SLAPP and anti-SLAPP.
Yeah, it's, I mean, honestly, it is crazy. Texas is unique in its repeated attempts at trying to pare back this law or gut this law. The movement nationally is in passing more anti-SLAPP laws. We now have 36 states with anti-SLAPP laws. All but one has a mandatory fee shipped, and the other one never gets used. So, I mean, just recently, Idaho passed this law. It's on the desk of the governor in Iowa. The Uniform Law Commission has passed a model anti-SLAPP law that very much was looked to be similar to Texas's law. And that law has been passed in almost a dozen different states just since 2020. So the movement is to protect free speech rights and to broaden that protection of free speech rights, not curtail it.
So this is House Bill 2988 that we're talking about. What happens from here, Laura?
We see whether or not it gets out of committee. We see whether or not there's going to be some sort of a committee substitute that would be acceptable and would not compromise Texas citizens' free speech rights. Well, that's yet to be determined. And then we have the two other bills, the one that would be striking at the interlocutory appeal and the stay. That's SB 336 and HB 2459. Those have yet to have a hearing, but they still can. So
In the
we'll.
meantime, what do you tell people? What if people are watching this podcast, listening to this podcast, they weren't among the many who signed up to speak before that committee. What do you tell people if they care about this?
I tell people to contact the members of the House Judiciary and Civil Jurisprudence Committee.
In
And
Texas, yeah, it's always a thing. And my mom will ask things like this sometimes, like, who do I contact about? And I'm like, make sure you're doing the Texas one. Don't contact your federal legislators for this. This is Texas.
right, indeed, it is in Texas. And contact those members and tell them that you oppose HB 2988. Contact the Speaker's office, contact the Lieutenant Governor's office. Let them know that we need to continue to protect free speech rights for Texas citizens.
Laura Prather, fighting the fight there in Austin, and it sounds like we're probably in the early rounds of this one, and we'll see how it goes from here. We definitely want to loop back and check in and find out how this is going. And we've got to talk again soon, Laura, about Uvalde. You've been the tip of the spear there. We're coming up on yet another anniversary, another year gone by from that horrific shooting there, that mass shooting at Robb Elementary, and we still know so little about what happened that day and all of the failures.
We just had another appellate argument in that case. It's been more than 1,000 days. And one of the questions that the judges asked was, what information have you received? And in one hand, I was able to hold up the 6 pages that we've received. That's
Six
it.
pages. We will follow up on that. That is its own episode. It's got to be coming up soon. Laura, thank you so much for taking the time, and thanks for all the efforts.
Thanks for having me.
So we're definitely going to have Laura back
Yeah.
again to talk about
Uvalde,
Uvalde,
sure.
because it's staggering how little we know all this time later. But you know,
What are they hiding? That's always been my thing. What are you hiding? Of course, it was a terrible response
yep.
that the state had
yep.
and that other law enforcement had, but just release it and move on.
Well, it makes you wonder, we know on the outside just from the things that have leaked, just from the things that media
Sure.
organizations have been able to pull out, that it was a terrible response. And so we think we know that it was a terrible response. It does make you wonder, wait, how much more terrible might the response have been than what we already
Yeah,
know
right.
if you're doing that much work to keep that stuff under wraps
What are you hiding?
years and years later?
It's
So
unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
we're gonna have to get Laura back on to talk about that because she's got a lot to say there. Meantime, with this anti-SLAPP, this anti-anti-SLAPP
Sure.
stuff that's going
It's
on,
coming up for a vote in committee.
yeah, we'll see how it goes. As it continues through the legislature. Last time around, it was just that the clock ran out on it. It was doing some moving there, but the clock in the legislature ran out and it
Yeah.
didn't make it all the way to the end. We'll see if it does this time.
And we have 30 days left in the legislature, so the clock is ticking.
But the people who are for this, you go, well, who wants this then? Again,
If I have money, I probably want it, right?
Big business, big money, powerful interests would be interested in this. But there are people too, including the Texans for Lawsuit Reform, who basically say that, you know, in some cases, this law, this protection, it's being abused, you know?
TLR says that, huh?
Yes, huh? Which is interesting. Wow. So they say it's being abused. So, like, in other words, you know, let's say you do something really wrong to me, which is very believable, okay?
Nobody buys that.
And I sue you for it, and it has nothing to do with First Amendment rights or any of that stuff, and you know you're not going to win against me, but you go to court and you go, well, this is a slap lawsuit. And now we're on that track where we get, you know, sidetracked, where I can't continue to pursue my lawsuit against you because you pulled out that card when you shouldn't have, but we got to go through that process. So they're saying it's being abused. But again, on the other side of this, they're saying, okay, great. A judge can figure that out pretty quickly, and then you guys can proceed with your lawsuit. We don't need to gut this law because some people are abusing this.
It's, you know, I just think back to when I think Texas for Lawsuit Reform was really involved in tort reform 25 years ago.
Yep.
And I'm not an attorney. I know you're a plain attorney on TV, but it's remarkable to me that you want to put these roadblocks up to cut off. Some things, but this sounds like if they want to gut something that has been effective, even if lawmakers like Representative Leach, Chairman Leach of the committee here has been able to use this, that's quite surprising.
I can't wait to see where this goes. We'll keep watching that and hopefully have an update on that at some point as we get toward the end of the session, which is coming fast.
Yeah, indeed it is. And Laura Lee Prather will definitely be back on to talk about Uvalde and that terrible anniversary that's coming up.
We can't forget that.
The end of May. And I hope we don't. And people like her are making sure that we don't as she continues to dig for the truth.
We cannot drop the pursuit of that.
Yeah, indeed so. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next week.